We all have our ups and downs in our availability to be with our children, but there has to be a consistent, there has to be a thread where you, Dad, spend time with your children.
Welcome to the Beverly Boulevard Foursquare Church. Happy Father's Day. It's Sunday, June 15th, 2025. Pastor Zoni is speaking. Today's message is entitled, The Reality of Fatherhood. And our text comes to us from Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4. And now, here's Pastor Zoni.
This morning, I'd like to address the whole concept of faithful fathers in a fractured world. Good grief. It's a message that I think needs to be spoken and addressed several times through the year. And it's the ministry of being a father. Now, for reasons that I am not able to disclose at this moment in my life, I want you to know that I know a lot of mothers that have been fathers. How many resonate with that, you know? Because there's been an abandonment of fathers. Fathers who walk away from their responsibility of being what God intended them to be before the foundations of the earth. When you go to Scripture, you find that fathers have a very important role. And today, I simply would like for us to look at Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4. And we're going to use this as a text, as part of the process, the duty, the responsibilities, the mantle that falls upon fatherhood. But those of you who are doing double duty, it falls on you as well. It's type of a challenge from God to each one of us to take responsibility. Let's read it. It says this way. Eventually, it will come. Fathers, do not exasperate. Let me give you another word. Do not provoke your children. Did you know that you as a father, you can provoke, needle your children? Of course you do. It says, by the way you treat them. Instead, rather, bring them up with the discipline of instruction, an instruction that comes from the Lord. All right. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. My version here, New Living Bible, says, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger by the way you treat them. Rather, bring them up with the discipline and instruction that comes from the Lord. May God bless the reading of his word. You know, the trigger here is one that I have uncovered in the last, maybe 5 months of my life. My wife may disagree. She may say that it's been there all along. But you know, we're all capable of being angry. I thought the holier I would get, the less angry I could get. But there is a holy anger, coraje santo. But it says here that we can provoke our children to anger, which is a response to the situation you're going through, a response to the issues that you're facing. And it says, don't do that. Rather, here's the key, bring them up with the discipline and instruction that comes from the Lord, because the Lord teaches us how to live. So, four things about fathers. First of all, I want you to know that it's important for you to be present as a father in the home. One of the great examples of a father's presence and how it matters is...
We're so glad you're able to join us today. If you would like to watch the full service with the worship time included, you can check out our Facebook page. For more information about our church, go to our website at www.bbfoursquare.org. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. God bless. See you next week.
Through angels and had a dream and told them, no, this is something that I'm doing. It's a sacred birth. It's something that we will never be able to fully understand, but we do know that this is the revelation that Joseph, and the Bible says Joseph, the stepfather of Jesus, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. Now you talk about a tall order for Joseph. See, we have the Bible. We can read the Bible. We understand about the incarnation. We understand the virgin birth of Christ. But this guy was walking with nothing except a vision that he could blame someone giving him pizza, though I don't think they have pizza in that place of the world. But he was obedient to God's voice as he was able to discern it. And he did not put Mary away. And not only did he not put her away, but he kept the son and named him Jesus. So here is one of the most important attributes for fathers. And father, you need to stick to your children. You need to stay close to your children. Joseph remained present even when all the social norms and the fear could have driven him away. He left Mary, but he also understood his commitment to that child that was coming. And his presence, his quiet obedience before the Lord safeguarded Mary and nurtured Jesus in all his formative ways. There are never any unwanted children. Jesus could have been discarded as an unwanted child, a burden, a shame. But Joseph was a man who understood God's role in his life, and it took courage, but he stayed with Mary and with Jesus. And if you think people didn't talk, you should read the Gospels, because they used to refer to Jesus as the one who was formed. He was called a bastard. Those were the things they said about Jesus. Joseph stood with Jesus. And in quiet obedience, the formative years of Jesus, he was there. He didn't disown Jesus. He loved Jesus, and he did not disown Mary. Takes a man, huh? Whatever that is. I would say it takes a father's presence to bring a level of commitment to the family. You as a father must be present with your children. We live in an age of absence and distraction. Fathers, where are the fathers? Where are the fathers? We don't see the fathers. We see mothers, unwed mothers, and mothers who've been separated from their husbands, or just issues that go on in society today. But a father's presence in the life of the children is very important, because it provides consistency. It provides steadiness. It's so powerful to have father at home, a father who's there. There's a story. I read this a long time ago. I wrote it down. A boy who asked his father, "Dad, how much do you make an hour?" And the guy said, $30 an hour. I like to have that job, you know, but anyway, $30 an hour. So the story goes that the boy went to his room and began to find all the bills and coins, and he came to his dad and says, can I buy 1 hour of your time? The night that happened, the father was weeping and crying. He realized that his presence meant more than any gift that he could buy. Dad needed to be there, to be there. Your presence, Dad, builds security. Even silent faithfulness speaks loudly. You're there. You are there. We all have our ups and downs in our availability to be with our children, but there has to be a consistent, there has to be a thread where you, Dad, spend time with your children. I remember when the kids were growing up and they would bring me those figures from school. I would need someone to interpret to me what in the world it was. This is a giraffe, or this is a hippopotamus. They couldn't even say the word. And this is a horse, and this is this. And I would look at all of that, and I said, I don't even know what this is. But I was there for them, and they know that. As you well know, my love or desire of sports is almost zero. I don't like sports. I just don't like them. But when Jeff was playing football, Whittier Christian, I went to every single game of him. And to the point that he asked me not to come because every time I showed up, they lost. So they had a lost season. But I was there. Because I liked the sport, not because my son needed to see me there with him. My commitment to him. You need to have a commitment with your children. You have to. Because your presence gives them security. Ways that you and I cannot even imagine. But there's more to it. Not only must you be present with them, you also have to instruct them in the ways of the Lord. Now here's where it comes tricky-like, you know. Because we Christians, we who know the Lord, we need to know our Bible as well. In Deuteronomy, which would be the fifth book of the Old Testament, says, and these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. And then he says, you shall teach them diligently to your children. Dads, we are responsible for teaching God's word to our children. Why do we delegate that to mothers is beyond me. Mothers can do a tremendous job, but the responsibility is with you as a father. This is why we should, again, the text we began with, we do bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. How can you do that? Well, you don't know that. We fathers have a responsibility to know the word and be able to not just impart them or show them values in life, but form hearts towards God. Show them that God is important, that it matters. And as your children grow up, they know it's okay to trust God. We have a very noisy world today. And we need to acknowledge that. We need to have intentional teaching in spite of the noisy world with Facebook and the internet and everything else that goes on. You got to somehow, some way, through daily life, and not just on Sunday morning, though I commend you for that, but throughout the week, you and I have a sacred duty to point to Jesus in our lives. However, I'm gonna say something that is crushing to me because it's true, and it's true to every father here. There's a time limit to how much we can influence your children for God. Fathers will always be fathers, but children grow up. Sometimes Jeffrey used to get concerned because Wilma would call him Jeffrito. And she was not Jeffrito. She was Jeff. Children grow up. Yes, you do. But it's in the time that they're growing up that you and I have the ability to instill in them the values and point to virtues that will last forever. Once that foundation solidifies, it's like cement. And it's so difficult to crack the cement. You will always love your father. You will always love your son. But the time of influence is when they're children. And I'm sure that parents, fathers can repent and children can forgive. But let me just tell you, this is the time to strike. This is the time to make a difference in the life of your children by instilling in them the instruction of the Lord. I go back to my high school days, and that's going down a couple of centuries. Actually, not that much, but it's none of your business how much, but it's down there. But I remember that I was asked one time, do you pray? And I said, yeah, I pray. And there was another kid who was Jewish, and he said, do you pray? He says, yes, I pray. He says, and who who taught you how to pray? Who told you how to pray? I told him I went to church, this, that, the other, and the Jewish brother said something like this. Well, my father comes close to me and prays out loud, and I follow what he says. Because I not only just ask, my dad doesn't only ask me to pray, he prays with me and shows me how to pray. The foundation that was laid upon him, he became a rabbi. The foundation of simply following the model, following the example of dad, huge. And every conversation, dads, that you have with your children carries eternal weight because they catch it. They sometimes don't know the words, but they catch the spirit. So when you have a conversation with your children, you're implanting, you're putting in the heart, in their soil, values that are so crucial in the instruction of the Lord. There's a picture that I'd like for you to catch about fathers, because it's found in Luke chapter 15, verse 20. It's the prodigal son's father. The scripture says, but while he was still a long way off, the prodigal son, his father saw him and felt compassion and ran and embraced him and kissed him. There's something about coming back to dad. There's something about coming back to father. There's something that just totally transforms your life. This parable of the prodigal son. He had spent everything, wasted everything, and was living in just absolute chaos. And he realized that he had done something wrong, and so he wanted to return to the Father. And he did return to the Father. And in that willingness to return, this is what happened. The Father forgave him for everything he ever did wrong. And there was a coming together of the prodigal son with the father. But when the prodigal son came back to the father, he was filthy, stinking, filthy, person who had worked with pigs, which is the most detestable of all animals for the Jewish people. And he still embraced him. And the dressing and the washing came after he came. It shows us that we come to Christ as we are. We come back to the Father as we are. And children may stray, but you and I as fathers, we may be wounded, but grace has to be there for you to accept back that child that comes to you. You're going to have children who will walk away. There's an illustration of this, this small town. The father felt really bad for things that had gone wrong between him and his son. And I'm going to make up a name here. What name can I use? Isidoro. That's nobody's name here. It's Isidoro. You know. And Isidoro is a Spanish name. I could say Carlos, but then it would be you. We'll do Carlos. Okay. He likes the attention, so Carlos. So our father put an ad in the local paper and said, Carlos, come home. All is forgiven. Meet me at the plaza at 7 p.m., Dad. That evening, over 200 Carlos showed up, hoping for reconciliation, wanting to be embraced by Dad. See, mercy opens doors that shame tries to close. Dads, we have to have that type of a heart that no matter what our children have done to us or not done to us, that we'll be open to receive them with love. Because real strength is shown in mercy. I know dads that sometimes says, I don't ever want to speak to my son or my daughter. You're dead to me. No. Welcome them back. Show them mercy, because they need to be embraced by you. So a father's heart always runs towards the hurting. So if you have a son, you have a daughter that's kind of done, you know, open your heart. Leave it wide open. And when he comes to you, he may be all messed up, or she may be all messed up. Receive them as they are, and then wash them. Then cleanse them. Then the process comes, and that's the prodigal son. Well, I want to finish my remarks by saying that your influence as a father is not only important here, but it goes beyond the grave. Genesis 49:1 says, "Then Jacob called his sons and said, 'Gather yourselves together, that I may tell you what shall happen to you in days to come.'" This is quite a moment in the life of Jacob and his sons, and how the Jacob's final blessing projects beyond the grave, beyond his death. The same thing happened to Paul. Paul writes to Timothy in 1 Timothy 1, 2, 2, and 2 Timothy 2, 2. He says, "To Timothy, my true child in the faith, what you have heard from me, entrust to faithful men." Father's final words, this quiet mentorship that will carry on to the next generation. You fathers have such a tremendous influence beyond your grave, beyond your life in this planet. You pass on much more than that DNA. You pass on your faith, your values, your identity. I remember my father praying for me only one time. We had a great relationship, and he prayed for me only one time, that I know of. He was in his deathbed. There was some urgent business that I had to take care of in Argentina, and I went to see him, and I said, "I'm leaving tomorrow," and he was there. My mother was there, too. I remember them. I see them. I see both of them. Mother was sitting here by the bed, and Dad was in his bed, and he was skin and bones. Cancer had eating him up horribly. And he looked up at me, and with the small strength that he had left, he says, "I know you need to go," he says, "but let me pray for you." And I almost got floored, because I never heard him pray for me loudly. I'm sure he prayed on his own, but that was a generation that didn't show things. Let's put it that way. How many of you relate to that generation? Yeah, you know, you're tough and macho, and that's your real man. But inside, you're just broken. And so I remember him lifting his hand, and I said, "This is it. Either he goes or I'm going to go." Well, he left, That was it. It was one of those moments. And he prayed for me that God would bless me and protect me and would take me and bring me back safely. He put his blessing on me. Final words are important. He died 2 weeks after that. Final words are very important. And that's with me, and it will be forever. He passed on to me values. He passed on to me identity. He passed on to me faith. There's one more story I tell you, and this is true. And they tell a story about this grandfather who left behind a Bible that was all written up all over the place. And they were inside the Bible, there were notes beside every verse. And in some of the verses, it carried the name of their children and grandchildren. And those were the prayers that he prayed over his grandchildren and children. And at the funeral, when they all gathered together, they did not talk or were not boasting about, "Oh, my dad left me this house. Oh, my dad," none of that. They were not talking about money or houses. They talked about their faith, his faith. They were saying, "I read Grandpa's Bible, and I see Grandpa's prayer over my name, and I pray that prayer over and over again. And because of that, I am now serving Christ." You will never know the power of your prayers and your commitment to your children. Fathers, listen. You will be remembered not for what you own, but for who you formed. How are you forming your children, fathers? That's so important. I go back into my own life, and I get to talk about my life because you're not up here. Otherwise, you would be talking about your life. But I remember my grandfather's lifestyle and what he did as a pastor, as a minister. I remember it. Those were building blocks, as they call it. And I look back and I see that. And I compare myself with others of my own age and in my own context that they did not have a grandfather or dad who prayed for them. And they're dead. Physically dead. They died. They walked away from, well, they never walked away. They never walked into the Lord. They rejected the Lord. But I was preserved because of my father and my grandfather's prayers, the commitment that I saw in their lives. Fathers, you have a great responsibility to gather your children and your grandchildren and have a heart for them and deploy that responsibility. But I do need to conclude, as I'm concluding, and this is how I want to conclude. I just want you to know, children, that we fathers know that we're flawed. And every human father is flawed. You will not see perfection in me. I remember one day that Jennifer came to me and so, my God, he says, I was shocked the other day. I found out you were not perfect. Took you a long time. I remember that. And I said, well, that's who I am, imperfect. We're imperfect. But I was not absent. At least not much, though Jeff got upset with me and told me that I spent too much time reading books and not enough time with him, because there's no end in blessing Jeff, but that's another thing altogether. But speaking seriously, earthly fathers are flawed, and some fathers are absent. But listen, children, some fathers are also broken. Broken. So here's the kicker, so to speak. There's a God who is our Heavenly Father who never leaves, who is never absent, who is never flawed, and who is complete. So he will always love you, and so much that he actually calls you and me, his children, our Heavenly Father. He's our Father. 1 John 3:1 says, see what kind of love the Father has given to us that we should be called children of God, and so are we. And he doesn't have any faults. So today we celebrate the gifts and callings of fathers and, you know, the imperfections, and yet God is perfect. They're not perfect, but your father and my father, they are or they were on a journey. And the journey was to reflect love and wisdom and mercy. Sometimes it wasn't as cool as we wanted it to be, but they did what they could, and they're doing what they can. But I know that your Heavenly Father is love, and he is wisdom, and he is mercy. And that's the Father we look to. So whether you are a father this morning or had a good one, or have lost one, or long to have one, know the following. There is one who calls you by name, who embraces your return, who teaches your heart, and speaks blessing over your future. His name is Abba Father. We all have that Father that we can look to. So fathers, you have a great opportunity to be influencers for the glory of God. You can influence your children for the glory of God. And a woe of you who, knowing you can, you don't. May you do what God called you to do and be a good father. So may I say to you, have a blessed Father's Day and make a commitment to the best father you could possibly be. And be the best grandfather you can possibly be. And be the great-great-grandfather you can possibly be. And I want to make sure with Carlos. Carlos, you be the great big, you know, great, 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 great grandfather. I don't know how old you are, but be the best as a father, as a male figure. Show God's relevance in your life and impact that in the life of your children. Can I hear an amen? So, Lord, we thank you this Sunday morning because, Lord, we need you to be our Father today. A Father who welcomes us back, never rejects us. A Father who doesn't shame us. But also a Father who disciplines us and corrects us with love and tenderness. Not to condemn us, not to put us down, not to destroy us, but to show us the way in which we need to walk. So, Lord, I pray that today we would bless the fathers in our church and elsewhere, fathers around the world, that we would get a grip on the responsibility of doing what needs to be done for the glory of God. Father, we commend ourselves to you. Wake up in us the gift of fatherhood, that there will be turning points in our life this morning, that we would make decisions in our life so that we can be the best we can. Father, thank you for the responsibility that you've given us as fathers. Thank you for the children that bear a DNA and bear the image of our faith. I pray that you would cause us, Lord, to be very, very, very cautious in how we walk and spend time with them. We love you, Lord. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Will you stand with me? You know, I should have included those who don't have any children of their own. You can always adopt one. Take them under your wing. You know how many fathers I've had in church? Good grief. Richard, before he passed away last month, he said to me, 2 months ago, he said to me, you had a very important father besides the one that we shared together. And that was Brother Munoz in Guatemala. He says he was a titan. He took you under his wing and he blessed you like a father would in his ministry. And it occurs to me that some of you need to embrace children that don't seem to have a father. You be a father to them. You seek them out. It's a blessing. I'm telling you, it's a blessing. So adopt one. If you have no one to adopt, adopt me. I'm still adoptable. Maybe expensive, but adopt someone. Love children. Love children. All right, church. This is the day that the Lord has made. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord cause his face to shine on you. May he be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his face to you and give you peace. Yes, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful Father's Day.
We're so glad you're able to join us today. If you would like to watch the full service with the worship time included, you can check out our Facebook page. For more information about our church, go to our website at www.bbfoursquare.org. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. God bless. See you next week.